This is also, like, I remember having a seminar on Foucault, a postgraduate seminar, and the professor always joked because he said Foucault was always against discipline, and discipline this and discipline that, right? And just highlighting all of what you said. And yet he was one of the most disciplined people in his life, in his academic life, right? Not in his personal life, but at least he took his academic work with the most seriousness, right? Like, there are, like, people that remember Foucault just sleeping, for example, in the library, not wanting to leave, reading, working, just to say that. But no, if you qualify that, I will totally agree with you. Actually, my reading of Foucault is guided how I see his kind of development of his ideas. Is, I think he started with the question of subjectivity, and that led him to walk all of these other roads. Shapes our subjectivity, right? So I think he started there, or that's how I explain myself, Foucault, that he started with the question of the subject and subjectivity itself. How do we come to be who we are? That's where I will put, like, Foucault. And then by trying to answer that question, he said, well, like, institutions play a role, discourse plays a role, right? Power plays a role, and later on, like, biopower, right? Well, discipline and biopower, right?
And just to add on to that, I think you can see why you'd be attracted to Kant in a qualified sense, right, near his later period, because, of course, Kant's whole argument is that who we are practically, fundamentally, is, from a practical sense, is the will, right? And in order to be a good will, it needs to be one that's free and unconstrained, which means that enlightenment is liberation from what he called heteronomy, right? Which is tradition, political power, all the kind of established ways of thinking about things that inhibit us from thinking for ourselves and willing what it is that we want. Now, of course, this is putting it really, really simply, and Foucault has a lot of criticisms of Kant, some of which I think are actually justified, right? But you can see why he'd be attracted to something kind of like this liberal ethos, understood in the right way, right? Will who it is that you're going to be, liberate yourself from the shackles of traditionalism and power, and express who you are through free acts of creation, right?
I don't know if I would associate that last bit with Foucault too much, but I did want to pick up on what Miriam said about normal subjects. So societies create normal subjects within them. And Foucault was really one of the most incisive critics of being normal, because he says, you know, being normal already is being fucked up if you live here. So in whatever context that means, like psychiatrically normal, or I don't know, rationally normal, he says, no, to be rational is just to be powerful at a certain moment in time. So Kant's a fucking virgin, obviously. And he's saying, no, if you're thinking, then you're free. And Foucault says, if you're thinking, then you're already caught up in power, and you're probably a rube just being used by the state to enforce the state hegemony. Anyway, before we continue this discussion, Eric is back from his COVID expeditions. Are you recording?
Pills, have you ever seen the Lego movie?
I think I know where you're going with this, but I can't be sure if I saw it. Is it Chris Pratt who's the voice of somebody?
He does, and this is what I was going to say, because I actually think that movie has a really nice Foucauldian underpinning to it, because the main character's name is Emmett. And Emmett, more than anything else, wants to just be a normal person in this kind of really eccentric reality, right? And he becomes so normal that all of his friends think that there's just absolutely nothing to his personality, and simultaneously becomes kind of abnormal in that sense, right? And I think there's a really good Foucauldian theory here, like a theory here that you can make about the dangers of wanting to conform yourself to the expectations of disciplinary power, and how that can actually warp your subjectivity in a really profound way, right?
And isn't there a weird contradiction that's sort of ironically poked at by that movie, where they're saying, like, every brick is the same with Lego because they only fit together in certain ways, but there's, like, a special brick? Am I remembering that right? I think it struck me even when I saw it, the irony of being like, no, Lego is about free form, when, you still have to stick bricks together. It's not like Plato.
Oh, yeah. It's because the Will Ferrell character gets really angry that people are using their bricks in the improper way. So what he wants to get is super glue so that he can freeze everything into place.
Okay.
and their job is to find this magical brick that will prevent him from sticking things together so that people will be free to rearrange the bricks in all kinds of creative and innovative ways without following the instructions, right? So,
because this movie is probably paid for by Lego, right? But they're putting out all these sets with like special, I don't know, Star Wars shit and special pieces that can only fit into one possible set. And yet they're pushing at the same time, like, no, we want free creativity instead of you following the instructions.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that if you wanted to, you could make like an Adornian criticism of the Lego movie and be like, it ultimately is part of the same system that it seeks to critique and promotes like this kind of homogeneity and stuff. I just think it's neat that the movie tries to toy around, at least in a surface way, with these Foucauldian themes about normalcy and its dangers.
Nice entendre.
Right? There you go. Anyway, but no, I was going to say, so Eric, what are your, Keith, what are your two things that you take away from Foucault then? So Plills said that the main thing he takes away from Foucault is an anti-liberalism, which Marion and I kind of push back on a bit. And then this idea of knowledge power, which I imagine we'll come back to. But like, what are two things you take from him?
I think, well, overall, I maybe not anti-liberal, but he's definitely part of the anti-humanist camp in that he's not all about individual free will and individual rationality, because he sees those things as products of the discourse that we're already a part of. The same discourse that constructs our bodies, constructs our sexuality, constructs the sort of social space in which we operate and have to learn the rules in. And I also came to Foucault through literature. So naturally, one of the first things you'll read in that area is you'll probably end up reading Roland Barthes' Death of the Author. And then the next thing you'll end up reading is Foucault's What is an Author, which he published 2 years later, which he's actually pushing back against the post-structuralist turn. Because when Barthes talks about the death of the author, he kind of wants authorship completely. He's almost like an outmoded concept in literary criticism. But for Foucault, he wants to preserve the author, but instead now he's calling it the author function. So just like any other function that a text exhibits, an author emerges from within the text. It's a function of the text rather than being something outside of it that determines its meaning. So he almost takes a halfway position between a kind of Derridian or post-structuralist Barth death of the author position and like even like a liberal position, which would say that the author and the intention of the author is sort of what determines the meaning of the text. He kind of takes a nice sort of midway position between that. So those are some of the things that I think about when I think of Foucault too.
Yeah, no, I mean, the interesting thing about that is you see echoes of the same kind of sentiment in his debate with Derrida, right? Where Derrida accused Foucault of still being fascinated with the Cartesian cogito. And Foucault's kind of pushback against that was that essentially Derrida was, you know, apolitical and caught up in, I'll just call it new forms of idealism and so on and so forth, right? But I think it's true that Foucault was always willing to talk about the subject and kind of locate ethics in the subject. He just didn't want to do so in a humanistic fashion. So I think that that's, you know, really, really apt.
Yeah. And discourse analysis, that's one of the big things that comes out of Foucault as well. I was actually warned early on in my studies not to do a discourse analysis of everything because it's just thrown around too much. Anybody does that. But Foucault kind of made this distinction between the kinds of discourses going on in the sciences where you're sort of incrementally building knowledge and there's a continuity between the work that comes before and then other sorts of areas of discourse which have almost like authors, but he calls them founders of discourse. So when you look at, for example, like Marxist discourse, right? That's a very like definite area of discourse. So Marx is a founder of discourse. So you can go over here into psychoanalysis and talk about dicks and things. And then that's also a very distinct area of discourse. And Freud is the founder of discourse in that regard. So there's another sort of tool, I guess, coming out of Foucault. It's almost mirrors the distinction between the humanities and the sciences, really, or the hard sciences and the soft sciences, with the founders of discourse concept and the author function concept. And there's some interesting stuff there. I'm no expert.